All right, it's a download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. One of my first guests on this show is leaving town again. Mm-hmm. Just like you're leaving town all the time. John Jughead Pearson has lived several creative lives. He's the founder and guitar player for the Chicago punk band Screeching Weasel, a writer and performer for the Neo-Futurists, Too Much Light Makes a Baby Go Blind, and he's an author. He's written several books with the local publisher Hope and Non-Things. He's a world traveler, and he's heading back to Japan this week, or beginning of next week,
yes,
for a seven-month stint as a wizard. John, good to see you, man.
Good to see you, Justin, always.
All right, before we start, is I want to find out about the wizard stuff, because when you were on before, we spent a good 5 minutes looking at your wand.
That's we
not,
did.
That's not it was a euphemism. That's what we did.
Yeah, we did look at my wand.
We
it
looked
was
at
a birch
your wand.
Wand, but also in Japanese, it's kabanoki.
Okay, before we start, you were supposed to be on last week.
Yes.
And, you know, we were going back and forth, and you're like, I'm stuck because of the storm in Dublin or Ireland. That's where mm-hmm. you were. Then you went on Facebook, and you read this long thing about how you almost died on the plane. Like, they had to go twice and try to land. Explain this.
Well, we couldn't get out of Dublin, so they weren't doing any flights to Newark, and you have to go to Newark to get to Chicago. So I flew to London to get a flight back to Chicago from there, and the plane was a really small plane. And those small planes, you know, they mm-hmm. you could tell you're going fast, and they shake a lot. But it started shaking. It was about to land. It was rocking back and forth. And then right at the last moment, it zoomed right back up in the air and, like, shot way back up in the air.
Oh, God.
And then the guy came on and said, we're going to give that another try. So just hold tight. We'll get you landed soon. And then we circled for, like, another 10 minutes. You know how dizzying it is to get circling around. He came back down. Same thing. Shook from side to side, side to side. About to hit the end of, a pylon at the end. And then zoomed right back up again.
What the? I mean, what was going on? What were the passengers doing? What were you doing?
Well, surprisingly, I mean, they're all like, I think British.
Have you ever been involved in like a plane kind of thing like that? No,
not to that
turbulence,
extent. No
right.
turbulence. Yeah,
right,
but this
right.
was
this is real
the
deal.
Most bizarre. I've never gotten that close to landing, and then twice. Then he said it's illegal for them to try a third pass, so we had to go to another airport, and then they closed down that
what
airport.
What was the problem? What was the problem?
I didn't know, but a lot of people were responding to my post saying it was crosswinds. And as we all know, like, a lot of accidents don't really happen much, but in the moment you don't.
Yeah, right.
You're just thinking about your life. And I was telling people how I really was in my head. I was very calm, but I was like, I think if we're going to die, I'm going to say I love this guy next to me and give him a hug. That's what I decided.
That's
I was
what
going
you
to
decided.
Do. That's what I decided.
I mean, really, in your head, you're like, okay, so we have now done this twice. This is totally surreal.
I know he's going to need it. I'm going to need it.
And you're like, I need to hug this dude.
Yes.
Wow.
I'm not even joking. That's exactly what came to my head.
I always want
kind
of
calm.
It's kind of, you know, like I want to talk to you. I was going to talk to you about going back to Japan and talk about being a wizard. And I saw that on Facebook, and I'm like, God, I wonder what Pearson was thinking. And now we know. Now Chicago knows.
Yeah.
Jughead was going to marry the guy that's next to him. That's great. Okay, good. All right, so let's talk about you're going back. I mean, I've teased this out throughout the show that you're Chicago's maybe the only wizard that we have. What do I mean?
There is one more wizard who is from Chicago. His name's Pete.
He sounds like a poser.
Oh, he doesn't look like a wizard like I do.
You do look like a wizard.
He doesn't have the beard. It's no hair.
What are you doing?
I work for the Japanese version of the Universal Studios Harry Potter World. And I do a show where I sell wands to Japanese individuals. But it's a one person show. About 5 minutes, and I do it about 20 to 30 times a day.
And you did this, we talked to you in June, maybe, or maybe it was a little earlier, May.
Yeah,
you just come back from that.
Yeah, I did it a year straight, and then they asked me to come back, so I was lucky.
Was it a hard decision to go back? I mean, you had spent a year in Japan.
Well, it was a hard decision because they want you to stay for a while, and I knew I had to come back, so I knew I had to work out a way to get back, so that was kind of the deal.
For you, I mean, now doing this a second stint.
Yeah.
You know, what are you going to bring back? I mean, now that you're not a rookie anymore, we talked about sort of adjusting to the culture last time.
Yeah.
Just about, you know, being an American and English. You didn't know much Japanese, if any.
No, no.
Talk about, like, now you're going, you're a veteran now. You're back.
Like, I kind of feel like I am. I think I understand them a little bit more. I love the country. The job is getting a little tiring. It's hard. It's hard to do. I mean, I'm an improviser like you. To do the same show 100 times a week is kind of difficult.
And you don't really get much leeway to change the script.
No, you don't. Not with Universal Studios. But the guys who've been there for 2 years are that was what was nice. I did actually go back a second time for 2 months. It's my third time back.
Oh, your third time, okay.
And they even said that it was nice to have someone come back with some life again because they've been doing it straight for 2 years. So
wow. That's an amazing thought to spend that much time doing one thing and for you to be able to do it in the next 7 months in a foreign country.
Yeah.
That you're not that, at least you had a couple stints before.
Right. But it's not even in a language we really speak. Like, none of them speak Japanese outside of the room, really. So it's kind of, in a way, it's kind of like speaking nonsense 10 hours a day.
What are you going to do differently this time around?
I'm really getting into, now that I know the script well, I'm really getting into getting the accent down. I've been told that I'm really good because all I knew was like Japanese old movies, so I do it very big, and that's kind of what they like. Some people try to do it realistically, mm-hmm. and they like the big. So I'll keep that up, but I want to get the little up inflexes and down inflexes better.
Do you have a sample? Do you have a sample sentence for us? I hate to put. I never like to put performers on the spot, but this is too rich, man.
There's Kabanoki de dekitatsue. So you have to go. Kabanoki has to go up, and dekitatsue comes down.
Tatsue.
And tsue. It's like it's almost like they're just spitting it
and
out.
And that's have them in red and blue.
Yeah. No. That's it's. This is a birch wand.
John Jughead Pierce is my guest.
Can I tell one more joke?
Yes, of course. Yes, please. And then, we're going to tell. Let's wrap up Japan with one more joke.
I have to ask my guest when it's their birthday. I go, Otanjobi wa? Which means, when's your birthday? And they tell me. And then later on, I start this monologue by saying, Oribanda no tsui wa subate, which means Ollivander wands are everywhere. And one day, I just stood back and said, Otanjobi wa? Which means I wished everyone a happy birthday.
And they're like, thank you.
Yeah.
John Pearson, Jughead, pop or punk royalty here in Chicago from his time with Screeching Weasel.
Yes.
Even when Blackouts also. We'll talk about when we come back 20 years at the Neo-Futurist.
Yes, 20
That's crazy
years.
To think about, man. I mean, we've known each other for a long time. To be 20 years as an ensemble member at that show, and that show is amazing. I think you're just a glutton for the idea of doing things in repetition, man. 20 years of doing that show, to do a late night show, to be in that. I mean, you've gone in and out but there's still a lot of how many shows you think you've done?
Oh, I don't even know. All right. Really, honestly,
I'm going to give
know.
You a 3 minute break
and
here,
I'll try to think
and then
about
you
that.
Got 3 minutes to think about it, and it's got to be in Japanese.
Okay.
We just have to have you back periodically so we play some punk music on the show. Yeah, what's that? Feel like we're what was that McGregor's? I feel like we're back at
McGregor's.
Yeah, McGregor's. Yeah, McGregor's. Yeah. That's where I feel like I'm at right now.
McGregor's. Wow.
And instead, we're on Michigan Avenue in the fishbowl here at
not
WGN
in Elmhurst.
Radio. Not in Elmhurst in a weird club. John Jughead Pearson, my guest tonight, the guitarist and I guess you call you co-founder of Screeching Weasel.
Yeah, definitely.
Also celebrating a 20-year anniversary as an ensemble member to Too Much Light Makes a Baby Go Blind.
Yes.
The Neo-Futurists. Also, I mean, just we were just talking about in the break with Screeching Weasel. I mean, you started performing right out of high school in 1986.
Mm-hmm.
So really, this is a 30-year anniversary of you being on stage.
Yes, that's true, yeah.
How does it feel for you? I mean, it's amazing that you've dedicated your life to show.
It's odd because I fought being a performer. I don't know why. My dad was a failed performer, salesman, so I didn't want to pursue it. But then everything I was doing was leading that way. Like I never planned for college, never even thought about being out of high school. So when the opportunity came up to start a band, I just did it.
For you, I mean, and I want to talk about not only the Neo-Futurist, but Den Theater, the 20th anniversary of your show that got you to Neo-Futurist.
Yes.
We'll talk about that, too. But I'm fascinated by the idea of, I mean, there really hasn't been in your life since 1986, like an extended period of time where you haven't been on stage. I mean, you've done Screeching Weasel was a nonstop tour. Mm-hmm. You guys were playing every week, you know, that kind of thing. And then you made the transition into theater, which is every Friday and Saturday night, if not Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
Yeah.
I mean, really, if you think about it, have you thought about the idea that you like are constantly on stage?
Well, even during the Weasel, I was doing Hope and Non Things, but it started out as my production company. So I would come back from tours and then produce a play and then go back on tour. So I was one record for one play for about 15 records and 15 plays.
When you think about that, I mean, you've dedicated your life to that craft. I mean,
yeah.
to several creative crafts, but the craft of being performing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean, for people out there who maybe, you know, wanted to get into it or don't understand what draws people to it, what draws you to continue? I mean, you're about to leave to go to Japan to perform in a show that's every single day for 7 months.
Yeah, I was, you know, I used to think it was a lack of something, actually. Like, I had nothing that said I couldn't do it myself. And I still feel that's kind of a lack because I'm not really good at any one thing, so I haven't been able to give up a few things to be perfect at any one thing. But there's nothing in me that's ever said not to try something. So
is it at all a curse to you? Do you ever feel like, oh man, I wish I didn't do this.
I often have to tell people that creativity comes before a lot of things in my life, and there's periods in my life where I don't have any money or, you know, I struggle a lot, but. At the end of the day, that's most important to me, not the money or anything like that. So.
I mean, that's a good way to put it, that creativity comes before. And you talk a lot about, you know, you hear people talking about, I just read this, about commitment. You know, like the commitment to the art or commitment to the arts.
Yes.
You know, it comes with the fact that there's going to be some situations that, you know, you're going to have difficult situations maybe with relationships or with other things because you're always in this sort of relationship with your art.
Yeah. And I remember being in Columbia College here and seeing that. You could see it in some people's eyes that were, this was just a time in college until they, you know, found a job somewhere. And then there was the ones that were like, we're doing this. We're, you know, we're getting out of here. We're going to start our own company. We're going to keep moving on. And I try to hook up with many of those people as I can along the way. So,
you know, it's funny because you and I have known each other for a long time, and we've been on the same stages at times and things like that. And I saw this article. I want to get your take on it because I saw this article today popped in Facebook. I think it was Sia, the artist Sia. She said all the artists, they were talking about how she covers her face. She doesn't show her face when she performs. And they were grilling her on it and some question and answer. She said, all artists who get up on stage, especially in Hollywood, are insecure. Or that's just what it is. I'm insecure and I cover my face and that's what it is. But all artists that do this, because we've been dancing forever. Something like that. We've been dancing forever. What do you take? What's your take on that?
Well, first I say any statement that says all is yeah, wrong to begin with
right.
Because you only know your own perception.
Right.
So you could say, well, my point of view, you know.
Right.
I don't know. I have insecurities. I do
no,
feel
yeah,
there's something
too, but,
to that. There is... Some of the loudest people in the room are the most insecure people, but I think it's more about that. It's more about wanting to be the center of attention, and that often gets you, you know, farther in many ways. But I don't think creativity is rooted in insecurities.
I was going to say, I mean, and a lot of people she might be talking about are people who are constantly performing on stage in some form for money or whatever it might
yeah.
be. But, I mean, in your case, I mean, the creativity is the tops because you've been involved with very successful things. Screeching Weasel is one of the most successful punk bands in the history of punk music in America.
Mm.
And then there's also the Neo-Futurists, which Too Much Light Makes Baby Go Blind will go down in history as one of the best off-loop theater shows and late-night theater shows in this city's history.
True.
But there's also in between. There's also shows, and I've been there, and you've been there, where we're in the back, and there's three people, and it's not a successful run, but you're still on stage.
Yeah. I remember playing at the Electric Banana in Pittsburgh in front of three people, and we committed so hard.
You got to, man.
You have to.
So, all right. So, John, tell me about the anniversaries here. Let's talk about the Den Theater stuff. I mean, this is the show that you put on that kind of led you to being part of the Neo Futurists.
Yeah, my group, Hope and Non-Things, which is a lot of great theater actors here, Steve Walker, Mark Montgomery, and David Cromer, did a show at Straw Dog called Living in the Present Tense. And actually, Stephanie Shaw from the Neo Futurists came to see that, knew me from Columbia, then called me up to audition. So I got in because of that. So, and the show did really, it didn't do really well, but because theater then didn't do very well.
Yeah, so what
but
is the,
Justin Hayford was one of his favorite plays for a long time. So we became friends after that. And now this year is coming up. So basically I auditioned and then put that show up around the same time. So right now, actually New Year's Eve will be my 20th anniversary of being in Too Much Light. Cause I started on New Year's Eve.
Wow.
And then, the show will open up in November, Living in the
so
Present Tense.
So when you tense. Come back, that's what you got on tape.
Yes, I go right into rehearsals for Living in the Present Tense.
So you've already booked, hasn't been?
Yeah.
What are you talking about? You're going to go. You're going to Japan for seven yeah. months starting next week, yeah. and you've already got what you're doing when you land
yes.
7 months
oh,
from
immediately
now.
When I land. We're actually having a reading next week.
But at the airport? You're doing it at the airport?
Yeah, maybe at the airport.
Doing it at the Potbellies at Midway. You guys are doing a reading for a play before you go to Japan.
Yeah. But I wasn't in it last time, so I'm excited. I'm going to be in it this time. So.
Well, John, congrats on all the success. I mean, and good luck going back to Japan. What I mean, outside of doing that show, what are you looking forward to most about getting back and living in Japan for 7 months?
I love the food there. I've learned to love sushi very much. And the people there are really great. And I'm looking forward to, if I ever lose my wallet, I will get it back.
that's a Japanese thing?
Yes.
All right. That's good to know.
Yeah, it is good to know.
John Jughead Pearson, the man behind Screeching Weasel, the punk band here in Chicago, who just, you know, like I said, is one of the most influential bands in punk rock history.
You could say pop because we influenced
know,
the whole pop.
I keep saying
pop.
Yeah. I don't know what pop keeps
well,
popping in my
pop
head.
Punk is, pop punk is what oh, right. it became afterwards. So.
Right, right, right. Yeah. And now, you know, 20th year anniversary for Neo Futurist, 20th anniversary for the Den Theater Show.
Yes.
Congrats on all your success. I'll see you in 7 months, man.
Thank you, Justin.
John Jughead Pearson. Love that guy. You know, it's he's an inspiration to so many different artists who are performing on stage now. I mean, we talked about this sort of pop punk, you know, he's an inspiration. Screeching Weasel is you know, Blink-182 and Alkaline Trio and all those kind of bands looked at Green Day. Huge, huge influence on them. But beyond that, like, I think of all the different theatrical performers in town who, when they were in college or when they came to Chicago, they went and saw Too Much Light Makes a Baby Go Blind. We all have that story of like, oh, I got to sit on the floor to watch the Neo Futurists. And it was John Pearson, man, jumping up, number 32. Hey, knock, knock, who's there? You know, but it's amazing to think about how much he's influenced a lot of different people. So it's always fun to be able to have artists like John come in and talk about what he thinks of the art form, about performing. You know, so we didn't really plan that, but I saw that article about Sia. And I thought about, you know, the performers I know. I mean, John's been on stage 30 years straight. I mean, I asked him in the break. He's like, there's not like, I mean, it's only like days where he's not on stage. Like, you know, like maybe from a Monday to a Thursday. But it's not like he takes 2 months off or 3 months off. Like, he's always performing. That's amazing.